The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus appeared to the 11, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was a newly ordained priest about 16 years ago, I had the opportunity to work with persons in our CIA, as is the experience of many newly ordained priests. And I'll never forget one of my first RCIA candidates that I worked with was a person who used to seek me out quite often outside of our RCIA sessions and would ask to meet with me privately to discuss certain elements of the faith. And this particular gentleman was very interesting. He was a Jew who was coming into Christian faith in the Catholic Church, and he was also a physicist with a PhD from Yale. So certainly one of the smarter guys I've ever talked to. And he was telling me as we were going through the RCIA program that today's mystery, the mystery of the Ascension, which we celebrate, was one of the most compelling reasons that led him to Catholic faith. And it's interesting because I think caught between the resurrection and Pentecost, which I think generally in the church tend to be celebrated with much greater solemnity than the Ascension, is this mystery today. And what this particular person was telling me was that he said, you know, Father, as a physicist, one of the things I know about matter, mass, is that all matter takes up time and space. Now, he's coming to me as a physicist, right? So he's explaining to me the science of it. I said, okay, that makes sense. He was like, for example, you exist right now in time, and you're taking up space in the universe. He says, but think about Jesus, though. He says, if Jesus ascended to the Father's right hand, which I believe, he occupies time and space, right? And I said, well, sorta. He goes, exactly. He says, you see, the evangelists, and of course, this is RCIA people teaching me, which I always have fun with, right? You know, I have all the studying in theology, but it's the people who are new to the faith who come with these perspectives, which are often brilliant. He says, if the resurrected body of Christ in his complete divinity and his complete humanity ascended to the Father's right hand, and all matter takes up time and space, he says, how do we explain for the fact that we could never find, for example, a telescope to go somewhere in the galaxy to discover heaven? Because he says we would have our Lord's body there, but we'd also have our Lady's body there, right? Because she was assumed body and soul into heaven. And he says, the whole mystery of it is the fact that the resurrected body that we hear about in the Gospels and today in the Ascension clearly tells us, at least implicitly tells us, that our Lord and our Lady in heaven exist in a fourth dimension of reality. Because we could not find a telescope to go find their bodies occupying time and space in a three-dimensional world in which we live. There has to be another dimension of reality which is unseen to our eyes, in which they exist, but no more, no less, have a true human body and a true human soul in that time and space outside of our perceived world. And so he said to me, isn't that great? And I said, yeah. I said, I never thought of it that way. So what I did for this homily today, in lieu of that, was that I went to one of the most unlikely sources for homily material, and that's the catechism. Because I was thinking a lot about this person 16 years later, and I thought to myself, you know, where did he start to kind of call these insights? And again, he's coming from a scientific, physical world, but he says, you know, Father, the danger for me as a physicist is to reduce all the mysteries of the faith to the physical. Because we're talking about realities that far transcend the physical universe, and yet respect it because the Gospels clearly narrate, as it is the Acts of the Apostles, exactly what eyewitness testimonies saw happen on the Mount of Olives that day, 40 days after the resurrection. A true human body and a true human soul belonging to Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, ascended to the Father's right hand. And even Mark here says that the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Is he talking about it physically? Is he talking about it metaphorically? My convert to the faith said, doesn't matter, because these are the realities that really do. So he said to me, and again, I think he was taking this right out of the catechism, he says the ascension is the capstone event of the resurrection mystery. This is the last time Jesus was on earth before he will come again to judge the living and the dead. His last day here on earth. It's his final appearance, but the catechism says that he only appeared in a wholly exceptional and unique way to one other person post-ascension, and that's St. Paul. The catechism says here, only in a holy and exceptional and unique way would Jesus show himself to Paul as what Paul would describe as himself, one untimely born, in a last apparition that established him as an apostle. And he says, the catechism goes on to other points, and he says that Christ is man's access point to the Father. Listen to this. It says, this final stage of the ascension is closely linked to the first, that is the descent from heaven and the incarnation. Only the one who came from the Father can return to the Father, Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to what Jesus is doing now, connecting it to the cross. He says, the lifting up of Jesus on the cross signifies and announces his lifting up by ascension into heaven. And indeed, the cross begins the ascension. Jesus Christ, the one priest of the new and eternal covenant, entered not into a sanctuary made by human hands, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. There, in heaven, Christ permanently exercises his priesthood, for he always lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God through him. And, as high priest of the good things to come, Jesus is the center and the principal actor of the liturgy that honors the Father in heaven. Lastly, I would just make mention of this. When the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles mention that Jesus sits at the Father's right hand, this is what the Catechism says that means. Being seated at the Father's right hand signifies the beginning, the inauguration of the Messiah's kingdom. It is the fulfillment of the prophet Daniel's vision concerning the Son of Man, when he writes, to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. So after this event, the apostles became witnesses of that kingdom, which already has been inaugurated by Jesus in his ascended state, sitting at the Father's right hand in glory. So, while this homily may be a little bit more catechetical than most, I just hope that it points out to each of us, myself included, certainly as I reflect back on my convert to the faith 16 years ago, that even though the scriptures are not scientific documents, and even though they're not out to prove science, they do give us insights into respecting how we live and move and act in this world and what we should expect in the next. So we pray today for time to be made today in this time before Pentecost to really reflect upon the mystery of what Christ has already accomplished for us in his glorified state, in his ascended state at the Father's right hand. He is the pioneer and the trailblazer for all of us, providing us with the hope of what we should all expect to receive at the end of time when he comes to judge the living and the dead, that our faces may be turned to him with hope and to meet that day with not fear, but joy.